It is Monday, August 12th, 2013, and this is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. Ozarks at Large is underwritten in part by the Walton Family Charitable Support Foundation. The 15th annual KUAF Summer Jazz Series concludes with the Amina Figueroa Quintet at Walton Arts Center Star Theater Friday, August 16th at 8 p.m. That's this Friday. This jazz pianist and composer has appeared at the Newport Jazz Fest, Dizzy's Jazz Club at Lincoln Center, and the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Festival. Tickets and more information available online at KUAF.com or waltonartcenter.org. Ahead on this edition of Ozarks, the musical instruments that could only be made by Ed Stilley. He created his guitars, mandolins, and fiddles by hand, and used spring, saw blades, and Dixie cups to construct them. We'll hear about a new exhibit of his instruments opening soon at Walton Arts Center, and we'll hear a new song written about him, played on two of the instruments he made. Plus, Crystal Bridges Museum of American Art prepares for the 1 millionth visit, and in about 7 minutes, an update on an ambitious effort by the Old Fort Homeless Coalition. First, Arkansas's plan to expand health care coverage is at the center of a panel discussion in Washington, D.C. today. Arkansas's approach toward implementing the Affordable Care Act by bypassing expanding Medicaid and instead providing premium subsidies for private plans is unique in the nation. Dr. Joe Thompson, Arkansas Surgeon General, said during the hearing, which was broadcast by C-SPAN, that the state's compromise approach was driven by a divided political climate.
In the last legislative session in January, I would say that opened with a strong impetus not to take advantage of the Medicaid expansion under the Affordable Care Act. After a fairly tumultuous process, our Republican leadership challenged the Democratic administration to say if we can use the commercial sector to strengthen the competitiveness of our market and to explicitly not expand the Medicaid's encroachment into our delivery system, they might come along with a plan.
Dr. Thompson said that every county in Arkansas has at least 20% of its population uninsured, with some counties as many as 40% uninsured. Thompson lauded advertising campaigns as a critical component of reaching out to nearly 500,000 Arkansans who don't have health insurance. Central Arkansas Water has hired a consultant to assess what risks an ExxonMobil pipeline could have on the Lake Maumelle watershed. The Pegasus Pipeline, which ruptured in Mayflower in March, crosses through the watershed. Tectonic Engineering and Surveying Consultants was awarded a $160,000 contract to assess vulnerabilities that may exist in the watershed. Central Arkansas Water Protection Manager John Tynan says the assessment will evaluate the entire system.
That includes things like the ExxonMobil pipeline and the risks it might pose to Lake Maumelle and drinking water quality, but also addresses natural hazards like tornadoes and ice storms, addresses terrorist acts to the system, cybersecurity threats. It's a comprehensive assessment of our potential risks and vulnerabilities throughout the entire system.
Tynan says it's anticipated that the bulk of the work will be done throughout 2014 because they are going to evaluate all of their facilities, not just Lake Maumelle. The last vulnerability assessment done by Central Arkansas Water was completed a decade ago. The Rogers School District will begin the new school year with three times the amount of internet bandwidth than it had at the end of classes in May. Chris Carter, the district's chief information officer, says the district increased its bandwidth in July with the beginning of the new fiscal year.
Again, we were at 200, which was, we were starting to peg the 200 toward the end of last school year. But we had already planned because we had to negotiate this back in December. So we knew that in July we would be at 600.
Those numbers Carter is using refer to the megabits per second available to the district. For matters of comparison, the basic tier of residential internet service typically starts at 1 megabit per second, and Netflix recommends a 5 megabit connection for delivery of high-definition movies. And it is the proliferation of rich multimedia content in the classroom, Carter says, is the reason for the expanded broadband connectivity. But he says the state recommends even more bandwidth when Common Core is fully implemented.
The state is recommending that we have 100 megabytes per 1,000 students for Common Core. So that would have us at 1.4 gigabits if we're at 14,000. And then beyond that, if we do what there's a group of educators that have recommended for years 17, 18 that we'll be at like 2.4 gigs, but I don't see that happening. If what they recommend is in place, I don't think there's enough bandwidth in the country for all of the schools to have what they recommend.
The group Carter referred to is the State Educational Technology Directors Association. He says the group also recommends schools have 1 gigabyte per second or 1,000 megabits per second per 1,000 students and staff by the 2017-2018 school year as mandatory digital courses come online. Carter says based on current internet rates, the district pays, and based on current enrollment growth, the district could pay as much as $2.4 million annually for that level of internet service. Today is the last day of early voting in Springdale's special election to fill a vacancy on the city council. The election to fill the Ward 4 Position 1 seat, vacated by the resignation of Alderman Bobby Stout, will be held from 7:30 to 7:30 tomorrow at polling places throughout Springdale. Three candidates, Mitch Miller, Mike Lawson, and Rick Culver, are seeking the seat, which will expire next year. For a full list of polling places, you can visit the county's website at co.washington.ar.us. And visit the County Election Commission page under the Departments tab. And a special election will be held tomorrow in Paris. Mayor Daniel Rogers says that the election is for a 1% permanent sales tax that will raise an estimated $200,000 annually to eliminate sanitation fees for city residents and raise an additional $300,000 annually to fund water and sewer improvements.
We have a lot of our water and sewer lines that are near 100 years old. We've been on water conservation for 7 or 8 years in a row, except this year. I put us on for about a week at one time when it got dry, but we've been in good shape this year due to all the rain, but that's been a problem. This tax will fix these problems over time because we'll have new money that we're putting in there that we have not been putting over there over the last 20 to 30 years. This would give us a plan to start looking at our current and future deficiencies now into the next 20, 30, 40 years.
Early voting continues today at the Logan County Courthouse. Voting tomorrow for all of Paris's three wards take place from 7:30 a.m. until 7:30 p.m. at the Paris Community Center. If you're not ready to give up swimming for the summer and you live in Fayetteville, you're in luck. The Fayetteville City Pool at Wilson Park is open an additional week. Instead of closing yesterday, the pool will now remain open through Sunday. The Northwest Arkansas Naturals will return to Arvest Ballpark tomorrow night to begin a homestand after finishing up a 6-game Texas road swing this weekend. The Nats shut out the San Antonio Missions last night 9-0 to end that road trip. The Naturals return home tomorrow for 7 games that will begin with 3 against Corpus Christi. Cloudy, a 70% chance of more rain tonight, possibly some thunderstorms. Lows will be in the upper 60s in northwest Arkansas. Tonight for the Arkansas River Valley, a 60% chance of showers or thunderstorms. Lows in the mid-70s. Tomorrow, partly sunny. 50-50 chance of rain in northwest Arkansas with highs around 83. It's a 70% chance of rain tomorrow for the River Valley, highs in the mid-80s. And for Tuesday night, mostly cloudy, 50% chance of rain in northwest Arkansas with lows in the upper 60s. Tuesday night for the Arkansas River Valley, 70% chance of showers and thunderstorms, lows in the lower 70s. This is Ozarks at Large. Plans continue to develop for an ambitious campus in Fort Smith to help people without permanent shelter. The Old Fort Homeless Coalition this summer received a $500,000 grant from Federal Home Loan Bank of Dallas to help proceed in building renovations needed on the Riverview Hope campus to be located on South E Street in Fort Smith. The campus, when fully opened, will combine several services and shelters in one spot. Debbie Everly, Director of Homeless Programs for the City of Fort Smith, says the campus will serve many needs, including some of the most basic.
You know, they don't have to be hanging out on a street corner, waiting for meals. They don't have to be called names as people drive by. Mm-hmm. They don't have to be living, in squalor on the riverside. In this campus, our goal is to treat everyone that comes through our doors with dignity and respect, because almost everyone that's homeless doesn't choose to be homeless.
The $500,000 grant money is specifically geared toward funding building renovations to help meet housing needs. The Riverview Hope campus has existed as a plan for more than 3 years and is projected to be open by late fall of next year.
Eventually, we hope to have actual mental health beds on our campus and transitional housing. We'll have that where they can move from, you know, the mat on the floor as they start to progress and then get ready to be back out in the workforce or out in a house of their own. They'll go through transitional housing that will be on campus.
The concept for a sort of one-stop campus to help people came out of a nearly year-long study that began more than 4 years ago. The development of the campus took another step toward reality this summer when the Old Ford Homeless Coalition and Next Step Homeless Services of Fort Smith signed a memorandum of understanding so Next Step can move its day room services to the campus. Amy Sherrill, the executive director of Next Step Homeless Services, says the proposed move would not mean a change in services, but instead is intended to aid in the creation of a campus that can provide many services in one location.
There also is a transit line along where the new place will be that will be operated by the Old Fort Homeless Coalition. So each month we work with our clients and we work with the city of Fort Smith in helping pass out transit tickets to those clients who have gotten jobs and need that little bit of help to get to their job in time. So the city of Fort Smith works with us, provides us a certain number each month, and obviously priority goes to our clients, the ones who get the jobs. The next one would be, you know, the mothers and children that have doctor's appointments and those sorts of things.
The Salvation Army is also scheduled to move on to the Riverview Hope campus. Debbie Everly, the Director of Homeless Programs for the city, says the Veterans Administration will also have a presence, as well as other services.
Clinical services there, mental health services, we've got the VA, all kinds of people that are going to be on the campus, including extra things that we're going to use in have for getting people, you know, back on the workforce and in home. But we're going to even have things like a barber shop where they can have their hair cut and clothing so that they can get, you know, look nice and presentable for an interview. They'll have mailboxes at Next Step where they can receive mail there or use that as an address when they apply for employment so that everything is kept confidential.
There will also be opportunities for adult education and a kennel on campus to provide shelter for pets. Debbie Everly says many in the homeless population don't seek safe indoor shelter because they don't want to leave their animals on the streets. Most other homeless services do not allow cats or dogs to stay with their clients.
There'll also be a place for them to check in their belongings. That's another reason why a lot of people don't want to come in. They don't want to leave their belongings out on the street for somebody to steal, because that's all they've got.
Gary Udodge, the president of the board of directors of Next Step Homeless Services, says the evolution of services for people without shelter continues, an effort to provide people with a path out of homelessness that he says Next Step has been trying to create.
They provide that individualized case management. They work with the person as they come in, where they are, look at community resources, look at their needs, try to help them get where they need to be as soon as possible. And that transitional housing she's talking about is such a huge thing. And as far as the board goes and my role on the board, it's just exciting to be part of it.
Debbie Everly says this summer's grant and the agreements with other agencies help make the campus closer to reality. But she says there are still ongoing efforts to secure more funding to make sure the other services come to fruition.
We are going to have a chapel in there for religious services. It's just going to be non-denominational and everybody can use it. You know, we're going to have, like, we have budget classes, money management, things like that, just to try to get people to understand their finances and how it all works. And I even have a volunteer right now who is looking into a revenue source, revenue stream, where we're hoping to set up a business on the campus to help fund it.
Debbie Everly is the Director of Homeless Programs for the City of Fort Smith. Supporters of the Riverview Hope campus want to have it open by late fall of 2014. This is Ozarks at Large.
Ever dream of making music but don't know your drum from your bass? Well, there's an app for that. Actually, dozens for your tablet and smartphone.
It almost sounds like you know what you're doing.
You could go around calling yourself a producer or beat maker, right?
Yes, that's right.
Music making apps for non-musical people. Later on All Things Considered from NPR News.
All Things Considered this afternoon at 3 on KUAF. From a newly constructed U.S. Senate race to a soon-to-be-under-construction plant in eastern Arkansas, the past 7 days were full of headlines. Roby Brock from our content partner Talk Business Arkansas examines the past week in Arkansas business and politics.
Tyson Foods delivered in nearly every quadrant of its business as the meat giant posted quarterly profits of $249 million. More than triple 1 year ago when profits topped $76 million. Notably, conditions in Tyson's beef segment improved, and its chicken and pork business continued to excel. Revenues for the Springdale-based protein company cleared $8.7 billion. That was up versus $8.2 billion in the previous year's comparable quarter. Windstream Corporation posted lower earnings as revenues dipped and the company continued its repositioning strategy. Windstream also disclosed that it's exploring a new holding company for its businesses. The Little Rock-based telecom reported second quarter net income of $39.7 million compared to $51 million 1 year ago. Revenues cleared $1.5 billion, down just slightly from 1 year ago. With a new labor agreement for its union employees almost completed, and despite what CEO Judy McReynolds described as moderate and inconsistent economic growth, Arkansas Best posted a $4.88 million second quarter profit. That was nearly one-third of its year-ago quarterly profit of $11.8 million, but it was well ahead of its significant first quarter 2013 loss. Revenues for the Fort Smith-based trucking giant rose to $576 million, up from $510 million 1 year ago. The board of directors for El Dorado-based Murphy Oil officially approved the spinoff of its U.S. retail marketing business. Murphy USA will become a publicly traded company on the New York Stock Exchange later this year, and Murphy Oil Corporation will remain a public firm on the exchange. As of June 30th of this year, there were nearly 1,200 Murphy Oil retail outlets in 23 states. And the business also owns midstream assets, including product distribution terminals and pipeline positions. Remington Arms broke ground on a $32 million expansion in Lone Oak this week that should employ around 60 new workers by the middle of 2014. The project will allow Remington to produce more ammunition to meet consumer demand, which the firm says is at an all-time high. Madison, North Carolina-based Remington is the oldest gun maker in the U.S. It's been in Lone Oak since 1969, currently employs about 1,300 in Arkansas. And in politics, 4th District Republican Congressman Tom Cotton made it official this week. He will challenge incumbent Democratic Senator Mark Pryor. Cotton announced Tuesday night in his hometown of Dardanelle that he would make the run. He said the senator's vote on health care reform and other agenda items of the president led him to make the challenge. Look for the race to more than occupy the airwaves in the coming months. I'm Roby Brock, and that is your Talk Business Arkansas update.
Support for Talk Business Arkansas on Ozarks at Large comes from the Electric Cooperatives of Arkansas. Diversity is the key to reliability and affordability. From the state's largest industrial user to a home at the end of a long country road, the Electric Cooperatives of Arkansas serve members with a stable supply of electricity backed up with fuel diversity. More at AECC.com. This is Ozarks at Large. An internal survey by the Association of Art Museum Directors ranked Crystal Bridges Museum of American Art as the 10th most visited museum in the country in 2012. Helping the museum achieve this distinction is the large influx of guests who've come to the museum, which will celebrate its second anniversary in November. This week, the Bentonville Museum is marking another milestone, and Ozarks at Large's Antoinette Grajeda has more.
Over the weekend, you may have noticed some black signs bearing Crystal Bridges' logo popping up on various lawns. The signs read, "Thank you for being one in a million," and are the museum's way of celebrating their 1 millionth visitor. Deputy Director Sandy Edwards says, based on data museum officials have collected on visitors, they are on target to welcome their 1 millionth guest this week.
We are celebrating not by saying that you
an individual, our millionth guest, but we're saying everyone who has come since 11-11-11 has been part of becoming a million guest. So you are one in a million, and that's what our signs are extolling, the importance of everyone being a part of Crystal Bridges.
Edwards, who begins her seventh year with the museum next month, says about 200 signs were created to mark the occasion. She says the museum counts every visitor, regardless of if it's their first time to the museum or not. So some repeat guests, as well as students who visit the museum with their schools, have been included in the data. When the museum first opened, Edwards says they tried to find benchmarks of what they could expect as far as attendance. But there was no perfect example that fit the Crystal Bridges model of a museum in a non-urban environment. She says officials settled on a business plan that would support 150,000 to 300,000 guests annually.
And we were thinking if we made 200,000 to 250,000 guests that we would be delighted. And so in our first year, as you'll remember, I wanted to make sure that we talked specifically about this. We just kind of blew off all projections and had more than 650,000 people who came in that first inaugural year. That gave us a pretty good indication that we needed to readjust our business plan, and we happily did so. We didn't have a lot that we needed to do. We added another parking area up, as you know, we call it additional parking, that helped with that flow. And then we also added a few additional people. But the good news was that the building could handle it, and we have just been delighted with the response.
64% of those who have visited the museum have come from Arkansas, and about 20% have come from Missouri, Texas, Oklahoma, Tennessee, Louisiana, and Mississippi. The remaining 16% have traveled from other parts of the U.S. as well as other parts of the world. To celebrate the milestone, the public is being asked to share their stories of what Crystal Bridges means to them in the form of a written or video statement. A Share Your Story video booth will be set up Wednesday and Thursday at the museum, where guests can share their tales. Saturday, there are a number of other events scheduled, including a sunrise experience at James Turrell's The Way of Color Sky Space, an outdoor yoga class, children's art workshops, art talks, and a museum store event featuring regional artists. As Deputy Director Sandy Edwards absolutely beams while discussing the milestone, she says the entire staff is thrilled.
Many people comment on the Crystal Bridges experience, and I would say that it is because it is a welcoming environment that many people are attracted to not only come, but to stay and linger and really make it a place where they want to return. So many people have told us that they are bringing guests more frequently than they had thought, and that people are calling them up and saying, we're coming to see Crystal Bridges, can we stay with you? So that is part of being new. But I do think that it's our frontline staff, our people who are in guest services, our gallery attendants, the number of volunteer guides we have, the greeters who are volunteers. We have more than 500 actively deployed volunteers who greet and direct people when they come. And then, of course, our wonderful security that is out front giving directions, helping people get oriented. The feedback we have received from our guests, it is such a welcoming environment that they not only have enjoyed their visit, but they want to come back and they want to continue to be a part of Crystal Bridges.
More information is available at crystalbridges.org. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
It is Monday, August 12th, 2013. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellens. With me is Becca Martin-Brown, features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
Want to talk music?
Always.
Okay. Let's talk about what's going on this week. 7 o'clock tomorrow night. You might think that the outdoor concert season is over.
No,
this is not true. The Bella Vista Community Concert Band performs tomorrow night at Blowing Springs Park in Bella Vista, and it is free. If you go a little early, you can buy a picnic supper from the Sunrise Rotary Club.
Sounds fun.
And Blowing Springs Park is beautiful, so there you go. There's a free summer concert at 7 o'clock tomorrow night at the Botanical Garden of the Ozarks in Fayetteville with a band called Chadwick.
Okay.
That, too, is free and fills up fast, so don't wait around. And our music writer, Kevin Kinder, tells me that you should go tomorrow night to George's Majestic Lounge and see Paul Thorne, who is a folk singer-songwriter who has kind of moved on to rock and roll with an album called What the Hell is Going On?
And he'll be at George's Majestic Lounge.
9 o'clock, tickets are $20.
All right, thank you, Becca. Becca Martin Brown, features editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
From Little Rock, I'm Stephen Cook with Arkansas Songs.
She's always been. Have you ever once considered how she looks to other men?
Prior to his election to statewide office, the name Bobby Lee Trammell was known only to the most exacting of rockabilly fans, though Trammell continued to record well past the late 1950s rockabilly boom. You Stand a Chance of Losing What You Got, heard here, was recorded by Trammell in 1973 and written by Bill Rice of Datto in Clay County with his longtime partner Jerry Foster. Bobby Lee Trammell was raised in Craighead County. He got his start in California in the 1950s after being picked up by White County native Faber Robeson. Robeson was an agent and label owner who worked with fellow Arkansasers Floyd Kramer, as well as Johnny Horton and Jim Reeves. Robeson also worked with the Browns of Sparkman. Maxine Brown accuses Robeson of blackmail and other sins in her 2005 autobiography. Unlike with most of his clients, the relationship between Robeson and Bobby Lee Trammell seemed less troubled. Robeson sold Trammell's contract without incident in 1959.
Well, I said, now, baby, late last night, I said, now, honey, are you satisfied? She turned around, and this is what she said. Honey, I've been loving you till you're dead.
From the beginning, others saw potential in Bobby Lee Trammell. Carl Perkins encouraged him to audition for Sun Records, but Trammell split for the West Coast. There, after being steered into a ballroom residency gig by fellow Arkansas-er Lefty Frizzell, he signed with BB native Faber Robeson's Faber Records. Within the month, Trammell's first single was issued. Bobby Lee Trammell established himself as a physical and unpredictable performer. A concert incident in Canada saw Trammell hospitalized after a female fan choked him with his own necktie. Through the 1960s and 1970s, Trammell continued to record unsuccessfully for several labels, including Atlantic, Hot, Santo, Sims of Nashville, Tennessee, and Joe Lee's Alley Records of Jonesboro, in Trammell's native Craighead County. Datto's Bill Rice co-produced the session heard here at Memphis's High Studios in 1973.
Cause my home. Sorrow bound. Without you, what's life worth? I may drown myself in these little drops of her.
In the 1980s, rockabilly music had a comeback, particularly in Europe, with package tours of performers old and new. But a 1984 festival incident in Holland saw Trammell break his wrist, dismounting a piano onto which he'd jumped. It ended the show, and any thoughts Trammell might have had about an international comeback of his own.
Satisfied, it's all your fault. It's all your fault.
After a lifetime of chasing pop stardom, Bobby Lee Trammell embarked on another difficult career path, politics. Here, Trammell found success. From 1997 to 2002, Trammell served in the Arkansas House of Representatives. Prior to that, he'd been on the Craighead County Quorum Court. As state rep, Trammell focused on methamphetamine addiction in his district. As a politician, Trammell downplayed his time as a musician, much less as a chaos-generating rockabilly wild man who'd been blacklisted by DJs and club owners alike. Bobby Lee Trammell died February 1, 2008, at his home in Jonesboro. The Associated Press mentioned Trammell's musical background before his political history, noting that Trammell's, quote, gyrating performances excited fans and alienated performers, unquote. Bobby Lee Trammell was 74. Here in its entirety is Bobby Lee Trammell of Craighead County with Love, Don't Let Me Down, produced in Memphis by Trammell with Bill Rice of Clay County from 1973.
Love, don't let me down, 'cause my heart is sorrow bound. Without you, what's life worth? I may drown myself in these little drops of hurt. If it isn't raining, what's this in my eyes? I know it can't be teardrop, for a man ain't supposed to cry. I see a cloud of sadness filling up the skies. And falling down are drops of hurt, 'cause something precious died. And I said, love, don't let me down, 'cause my heart is sorrow bound. Without you, life worth? I may drown myself in these little drops of hurt. Hurt is like a river flowing wide and deep, and even though it has a bed, a river never sleeps. And like that restless river of muddy misery, I can't find a place to run from what's inside of me. And I say, love, don't let me down, 'cause my heart is sorrow bound. Without you, what's life worth? I may drown myself in these little drops of hurt.
Musician and politician Bobby Lee Trammell of Craighead County with Love, Don't Let Me Down from 1973. It's another song of Arkansas. From Little Rock, I'm Stephen Cook with Arkansongs.
Arkansongs is a production of KUAR and Experiment Station Studios. Associate producer is Keith Merks. For more information, go to arkansongs.org. Arkansongs, since 1999.
This is Ozarks at Large. Just ahead, a brand new song from Still on the Hill. Kelly and Donna will play a new song about Ed Stilley on instruments he made. That's just ahead on this Monday edition of Ozarks at Large. Support for Ozarks at Large comes in part from the University of Arkansas Women's Giving Circle. The KUAF website giveaway is offering event passes to the Fayetteville Roots Festival August 22nd through the 25th. One winner will receive 2 4-day passes. These passes include Friends of the Festival backstage concert, late-night passes, plus the Roots Festival main stage. The drawing is Friday, August 16th. That's this Friday during the noon edition of Ozarks at Large. Registration and information available at KUAF.com.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. Next time on Here and Now, a glut of lobsters in Maine. Lobstermen say that climate change has increased their catch and prices are the lowest in 20 years.
Really, with the prices as low as they are, the lobstermen are doing the best they can to bring in as much poundage as they can. You can only work on quantity at these prices.
That's next time on Here and Now from NPR and WBUR Boston.
Here and Now this afternoon at 1 on KUAF 91.3 FM. Ed Stilley has made musical instruments for decades, and his instruments are truly like no others. Ed is a man who has not let the conventions of the 20th or the 21st century bind him. On his land in Hogscald Holler, Ed has used any and almost everything within his reach to make guitars, mandolins, and violins. Inside those instruments are bedsprings, saw blades, and other unconventional parts. Later this month, as part of the Fayetteville Roots Festival, Donna Stierna and Kelly Mulholland of Still on the Hill will celebrate Ed and his instruments. On Friday, August 23rd, they'll have a jamboree inside the Walton Art Center's lobby. Music played on Ed's instruments, with Ed expected to be in attendance. Donna says this collaboration, years in the making, actually started when she saw an Ed Stilley original guitar for the first time at a friend's house.
Nina Luther, I was over having a visit with her. She's a friend of mine. And there was an Ed Stilley guitar sitting on her fireplace hearth. And I was like, what is that? That is amazing. So they used to be his next door neighbor. And she's told me all about it. And I said, Kelly has to see this. And I ran and got him and brought him. And the Luthers took us over to meet him for the first time. So we had an introduction.
What was it about the guitar that made you stop?
Well, it was like nothing I'd ever seen. Every single bit of it was so original. This particular guitar still stands out because the internal parts were, it actually had a right guard aerosol can carefully mounted inside, along with a spring and a saw blade and door springs. And later on, we actually had it x-rayed and found out that it also had a plastic Dixie cup mounted inside very carefully. Way inside.
And this is an Ed Stilley original.
Yes, yeah. And quite typical. All of his instruments have a whole bunch of metallic stuff inside.
Well, it's interesting because I've known of people who say they play by ear, but he makes instruments by ear.
Oh, what a lovely way of saying that.
That's
Kyle.
Perfect.
I mean, because he thinks about the way he wants it to sound, and then he just finds what
right.
he finds.
Each one seems to be an invention unto itself. You know, there's no repetition. He just keeps on moving on, and whatever's in his shop, he sticks it in there, and he mounts it in there very carefully. But he has come up with a lot of really good ideas.
Well, now, I've been to Ed's house. It was years ago. Russell Cothran, photographer,
yes.
and I went out there, and Russell took some pictures, and I talked to Ed. But I tell you, I could spend the next 200 years trying to find this place again, and I don't know if I could.
Yeah, it's in the Hogscald Holler, which a lot of people know that because it's a popular swimming area on Beaver Lake, or it was. It used to actually be a nudist beach down there, apparently, in the 70s.
Really? Did not know that.
That's what I've
in
heard.
In the Hogscalds,
yeah.
right
yes.
across the
But,
Mains.
You know, there's a lot of, it's a very colorful place, the Hogscald Holler, actually where they scalded hogs in the creek bed a long time ago. But Ed lived there his whole life until about 2005. And then for health reasons, they moved him a little, about 10 miles away, up on the highway.
Now, if someone makes these brilliant, eccentric, wonderful instruments, you might think they get rich. How much money has he made from selling these instruments?
Nothing. Mm-hmm. Nothing. That's one of the most beautiful things about it. He has stuck to that. Ed never would take money for his instruments. He never sold an instrument. He's said to have made over 200. They're scattered all over the region. But somebody told me that they asked him if he would sign the instrument, and he refused because he said God made it.
And he's given several of them to young people, right?
Most of them.
Yeah.
And a lot of those young people are now older. You know,
in the
20s. Many years ago, yeah.
See, we're working on a book project to celebrate this Ed's work. And so we've been kind of like detectives trying to find them all. Ed doesn't have a list, and he can't remember who he gave them to. So just one leads to another, and we've actually found 45, 50 so far.
Wow.
And we have borrowed 25 for this show.
He sometimes leaves you songs or messages on your phone machine?
Yes, we were so honored. He has a little circle of people that he calls on a regular basis and asks if he could sing a hymn for you. And if you're not home, he just does it anyway on the answering machine. And as we're not home a lot, I have a collection. I made a little CD of about 14 or 15 of them that he's just in the last 3 or 4 months. They come quite pretty fast now.
Sunday, 3:25 p.m. He went there, see the den of lions. He went there, see the den of lions. He went there, see the
party planet. They ran fast to the party planet. They ran fast to the party planet. Safe over in Thomas Land.
How did this show come together?
Well, you know, I must say we owe a great thanks to Brian Hembree. Three Penny Acre, and also the director of the Fayetteville Roots Festival. And this was his idea. He knew what we were up to. We're very close friends. And he had this vision that, you know, last year they had the Woody Guthrie tribute in the gallery during the festival.
He wanted
something worthy of that. And he got a hold of us, and he knew we were working on this book project and that we had a lot of photographs. He suggested that we get together and see if we can make this happen. And he's just been invaluable in making it, bringing it to fruition.
Yeah. Oh, and the photographer, that several of the photos, a huge amount of the photos, are by photographer Tim Hawley from Springfield, Missouri. He's been going out for the last couple of years, going with us out on these excursions to find these instruments and taking amazing photos of the instruments, close-ups of the instruments, and portraits of many of the people that received instruments.
Aren't a lot of them inscribed? Hasn't he written some messages on them?
They're always inscribed with the words, true faith, true light, have faith in God. And there's a funny story. One of his relatives, he had given a guitar, and the early guitars didn't have that on there, simply because he did not have a router. In fact, he didn't have electricity in his shop at first. But when he got a router, he learned how to inscribe with it. And he would freehand that in every guitar. Well, one of his relatives brought the guitar back because some of the marbles he'd inlaid in the top had fallen out. And so when she got it back, it had it on there.
Donnie, you have your fiddle, and it's in a traditional fiddle case. Kelly, you have a box here that is taped together. It's an old U-Haul box. And
you'll see. The reason for that is because, well, this is Donna's fiddle that Ed gave her a long time ago.
Oh, my goodness.
Donna's fiddle is particularly nice in that it has a chainsaw sprocket mounted inside.
Oh, my goodness. Now, look at this.
I wish you could see what we just pulled out. It's one of his butterfly guitars. It looks like it has two giant Mickey Mouse ears. He calls it his butterfly guitar, and he's only made maybe four butterfly guitar. So we're honored. This is one of ours.
Now I see some brass there in through the hole there.
That's right. Well, this is a steel rod which extends all the way from end to end. It goes right through the neck. So it serves as what they call a truss rod, but it keeps it going all the way to the other end. Also, there's two big door springs.
My fiddle has springs also in it. That's a trademark. He puts springs in.
And then also what you can't see in here is the saw blade, but I'll make a little sound with it.
Big, this is inside the guitar.
Big people circular sub.
And it's just but you're reaching inside the guitar to do that.
And it's not just haphazardly mounted in there, too. What a lot of people can't know just by looking is that the saw blade, it's a circular saw blade, and it's sandwiched between two large coil springs so that it's allowed to ring like a bell.
But one of the exciting things in the exhibit, we also have x-rays of the instruments.
Oh, and so those will be
And they were beautiful, large x-rays of the instrument, so you'll actually be able to see all the works.
You know, I see these in your hands, your fiddle, and they both have the inscriptions.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't help but think, boy, I could see these in the Smithsonian.
Yes.
I mean, these are American works of art here.
Some of the finest folk art we've ever laid our eyes on.
I think we're slowly creeping towards the Smithsonian. I think this is a starting place. Like I say, we have a book project, and we're hoping that opens doors. I don't even know why we do this. This is not part of our job. This is a labor of love. You know, we do play concerts and this. And well, you know, maybe I know why we do this. Maybe this is our way of repaying Ed, because these instruments have been at the core of our performance since 2005.
And they bring us such joy in whether we're playing for children or adults.
And this is in a concert, and you get this out.
Oh.
It's kind of like having a kid in the act, you know.
Except you're in control of it, I guess, right?
Yeah, more or less. His instruments are a little challenging to play, but you know, but that's not that's part of the charm.
Right. Mm-hmm. I was going to ask, can you approach this butterfly guitar or this fiddle in the same way you'd
not
really.
No, my fiddle is not to scale. It's maybe more the scale of a viola. It's longer neck and
the guitar is a very crude fretwork.
A little higgledy-piggledy.
Yeah, and you know, that's part of what's interesting about the instruments is the fretwork is crude, but that also gives each instrument its own distinct intonation characteristics. So that when you're a guitar player, what you have to do is surrender to it. instead of not, you know, it's important when you play one of his instruments not to expect it to sound like you want it to sound, but actually to follow where it wants to take you.
Mm-hmm.
I always thought that was part of the key to working with it.
Like the fiddle here almost has a little bit of a sitar sound to it. And the quality of it is, I find it really charming. The vibration that I feel on it, it's. I wouldn't want to play it on every song. It's quite a heavy instrument, maybe weighs close to 25 pounds.
And by the way, we are going to kind of camp out in the gallery at the Walton Arts Center all weekend during the Folk Festival. Mm-hmm. And we're going to make it our job to explain these instruments, get them down for people, play them. If they want to hear a particular instrument, I'll get it down for them and let them play it too.
We'll have
as long
some
as we're there,
on.
You know,
people can try them.
We'll be there to tell stories, answer questions about Ed, tell stories about Ed. You know, whatever it takes.
This is something else.
This is a dream come true for us.
Yeah,
we are so excited to do this.
Do you mind? Can we hear these instruments?
Yeah, you know, we would love. Now we've been playing. For years, we've been playing a song that we wrote together that tells a story about why Ed does this, and it's on one of our CDs, and it's on a DVD that a lot of people have seen on AETN. But today, what we're going to do is unveil a brand new one that Donna wrote, and it has really this one. We decided our other song is very serious and mm-hmm. not really appropriate for children, and we needed something a little lighter.
And something different, you know, that children could relate to. More about Ed's resourcefulness.
That's okay. One thing we want kids to get from this more than anything is that, you know, maybe you could try to make something yourself. You know, look how this man, he didn't have any training. Nobody told him how to do this. And he didn't go any – he just – everything – the instrument's made entirely of stuff that he got from his yard except for the tuning pegs.
Yeah.
So it teaches resourcefulness, you know. But this is a cute little song.
In the song, there's a whistling part. So you and the listening audience,
including Kyle.
Whistle, okay. You got to whistle with us.
All right. Okay. So don't turn your mic off. We're going to need you, all right?
We've had you sing with us before.
Yes, you did.
All right. So here we go. I think this is the world premiere as far as I know.
Yeah.
Ed Stilley's a hard-working man, raised five children off the land, had a floppy-eared mule pull his plow, chickens in the yard and a milking cow. When the sun went down at the end of the day, he'd put that mountain and his mule away.
Get out a saw, get out a chisel,
grab a hunk of wood, then he'd sing and he'd whistle. Pork chop bong, whittle for a bridge, tailpiece made from a rusty old hinge. Door spring saw blades mounted in the middle, it'll like a sound when them old parts jiggle. Oh. Years ago, Ed said to me that back around 1983, that the Lord gave him a special vision, showing him his life's mission. So he made guitars and he gave them away. He never took a dime for pay. He'd get out a saw, get out a chisel, grab a hunk of wood, then he'd sing and he'd whistle. Pork chop bone, whittle for a bridge, tailpiece made from a rusty old hinge. Door spring saw blades mounted in the middle, it'll like a sound when them old parts jiggle. Oh, here we go.
Okay, everybody whistle.
Tilly, he's a clever man. He used whatever he had on hand, pots and pans and metal things, to help him make them guitars ring. Well, he taught me that I could do most anything I wanted to. I just get out a saw, get out a chisel, grab a hunk of wood, then I'll sing and I'll whistle. Pork chop bone, whittle for a bridge, tailpiece made from a rusty old hinge. Door spring saw blades mounted in the middle, head like a sound when them old parts jiggle. Whoa.
Hey.
wonderful. How heavy is the butterfly guitar?
I think it's about 28 pounds. 28 pounds. Probably a little on the heavy side for most guitars. It's actually not just glued together. It's nailed together.
It's solid.
It's tough as it can be. And, you know, so after our shows, when we do a Still on the Hill show, we always put it on a stand and invite the audience to come up one at a time and sit and hold it and listen to it and take pictures. And so thousands and thousands of people have held the butterfly guitar.
If you put your ear on the guitar, even if you don't know how to play, and you give it a strum, then you can hear all the metallic and the magic inside it. And you just watch people. They just gloss over when they give it a strum. It's just like – it's just unworldly.
Then you can hardly get it back.
Yeah.
Like, excuse me. Okay, next.
Have you, of the 25 that you have borrowed, have you played each of those instruments?
Yes, they're all, by the way, all 25 of them are players. They've all got all their strings on them, all their frets on them. They're all working. They're all be actually tuned up,
thanks,
ready to
Kelly
play.
Fixing them all up.
There's some of them that they definitely, some of them play better than others. Yeah. And some of them are pitched low because I don't feel like they have the, you know, the neck. I worry about whether I brought them up to full tension, whether they'd be safe enough. So I leave them low.
Which
but that's kind of interesting, too.
Yeah,
some of them will handle that low pitch real nicely. Mm-hmm. But I'd be real happy to demonstrate them for people and show them the details and look inside. I'm also setting up. We borrowed tons of artifacts from his workshop, and especially for the children, there's a part of the display will show how Ed works, and it'll start with, you know, the raw wood. It'll show his pegboard that he bends the side on. It'll show some instruments that were never finished, so you can see inside and how the metallic objects are sitting in there. So it'll step by step. You'll see how Ed did this.
This is all going to be in the lobby. This is going to be exhibit is going to be something else.
It really is.
And flip put off pictures from the Hog Skull days.
Yes, cannot forget that.
Oh,
those are so
fabulous.
Precious, which you know about. Flip put off, the writer for the Morning News, 1997, took a great set of black and whites with a regular old film camera, one of the last before they moved off to digital. And there'll be eight of those photographs. Beautiful photographs of Ed when he was in his prime. Because, right, you know, I should mention, Ed stopped making musical instruments about 2005 just because his fingers could no longer do it. It's not because he wanted to stop, but his body couldn't carry it on. But he did do it for 25 years.
Kelly Mulholland and Donna Stierna are the duo Still on the Hill. They'll host a performance of music made on Ed Stilley-created instruments inside the Walton Arts Center lobby on Friday, August 23rd. It's part of the Fayetteville Roots Festival. It will take place inside the lobby that Friday from 4 until 6, just before the main stage entertainment begins. You can learn more about the event and the entire festival at FayettevilleRoots.com.
We said he would have to go back to school or work, and he didn't either. So 2 weeks later, David met him at the door with his bags packed and took his key.
I finally understood that if you think it's not where you're from, it's where you're at, then as we say down here in the South, bless your heart.
I ran to the window and quickly saw the biggest hook and ladder truck I have ever seen. They slowly extended the ladder up to the third floor window that I was working in.
Tales from the South, Saturday afternoon at 3:30 on KUAF.
If you think you recognize that first voice in that promotion for Tales from the South, you might have. Catherine Shirls of Fayetteville will be featured on this Saturday's edition of Tales from the South. This is KUAF 91.3 FM, Fayetteville, Fort Smith, Bentonville, Decatur. Ozarks at Large, a production of KUAF. I'm Kyle Kellums. Thanks so much for tuning in. Another brand new edition of the program tomorrow at noon. Antoinette Grajeda will join me in the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio. Have a great Monday. Thanks for listening.